Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Lamed Aleph. We did not get to the Mishnah yesterday. We're a few lines before the Mishnah at the two dots. One, two, three, four lines before the lines get wide. So we were darshaning a pasuk, and we were darshaning the pasuk of Vahodatel Hemesaderech Yelchu Baves Hamase Sher Yaasun to relate to a number of different mitzvos Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. So the Gemara is now going to go back to that drasha and see if any of the drashas were perhaps repetitive. So Amar Mar or redundant. Amar Mar Yelchu Ze Bikur Cholim. From the word Yelchu, we darshan the mitzvah Bikur Cholim. In fact, the Gemara, Haynu Gemilas Chasadim, isn't that included in the broader category of Gemilas Chasadim? So that's the Gemara, Lo Nitzcha Elo Leben Gilo. No, the specific mitzvah of Bikur Cholim that we're teaching about over here is something that goes beyond normal Gemilas Chasadim. Normal Gemilas Chasadim is pure giving, but you're not going to lose anything by giving. But when you are a Ben Gila, when you're born under the same mazel as the person who you are visiting, Damar Mar, Ben Gila, notalachan mishishim b'chalyo, you take 1/60th of his illness. So I might have thought, why should I make myself sick in order to go do a mitzvah of Bikur Cholim for my friend? There's no requirement that I should make myself sick. Kamash Milan, yes there is. To take away Echad Mishishim B'Cholyo, even though you're going to receive that Echad Mishishim B'Cholyo because you're Ben Gilo and it somehow transfers over onto the person who's Ben Gilo, nevertheless he has a mitzvah. It's a very interesting question in general. How much do you have to suffer in order to do mitzvah saseh? We talk a lot about how much to spend money on mitzvah saseh, about how Mavaziz Ali Vaziz Yosem Chomesh, maybe Nashir Muflik is different, and we speak a lot about the sacrifices that are necessary in order to avoid violating mitzvos lo saseh, but how much pain, how much does one have to suffer in order to make sure that they do a mitzvah saseh? So the Gemara seems to say there's at least a minimum, there's at least something that a person has to suffer. 1/60th of the illness is at least a minimum that a person has to suffer, at least by Bikur Cholim. It's a question whether this is something that we can derive for all other mitzvahs, or maybe special drasha dafka by Bikur Cholim. But we know that there are certain instances where one does not have to suffer from mitzvah saseh. Rav Asher Weiss has tshuvas about this. He talks about this a lot. He talks in the context of a person who gets sick from drinking wine, from drinking dalet kosos. There's a Gemara that says that one of the Amoraim would be sick for months after drinking the dalet kosos, and that Gemara serves as a source for this sugya. He gave a shir in it once, I think. But anyway, I just saw Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva in one of the Torah journals that just came out. Avi Khan gave me a copy of one of these big fat Torah journals, Yishurin, I think it's called, where Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva about a family that has some sort of genetic, they're carriers of some genetic disease, and there's a 50-50 chance that their children are going to have serious issues, and they wanted to know if, you know, just teach us what to do. What should we do? Should we not have children? Should we? And Rav Asher said that if you know that your children are going to be sick, you don't have to suffer for the mitzvah saseh of Pru Revu. So to go through that amount of suffering for mitzvah saseh is not necessary. What they should do is a different issue, exactly how to go about building a family. But to go through that amount of suffering for a mitzvah saseh, he thought you don't have to do. But anyway, at least this amount of suffering for the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim is necessary. Says the Gemara, Ba zu kvura. We darshan from the word ba that there's a mitzvah of kvura. So frak the Gemara haynu gemilas chasadim. That's also included in the broader category of gemilas chasadim to do chesed with the mace. And so the Gemara lo nitzcha elo lezakin ven elofi kvodo. Now the additional chiddush over here is that even if you're a zakin ven elofi kvodo and it's not lefi kvodo to be involved in the kvura, still you have to go ahead and do the mitzvah of kvura. Some of the achronim are bothered by this. The Birei Adaf quotes the Maharshach, who says, why do you need a pasuk to be mechayev a zakin ven elofi kvodo in kvura? There's no makar to pater a zakin ven elofi kvodo from kvura. Meaning, pashtus is, a zakin is chayev in every mitzvah, just like all the rest of us are chayev in every single mitzvah. So the mitzvah of kvura is mitzvah saseh and a lo saseh min haTorah. Why would I think for even a second that a zakin ven elofi kvodo is going to be pater from mitzvah of kvura? So he answers that really, when it comes to a mace mitzvah in a chinami, you don't need the pasuk. Pasuk is talking about where there are other people that could also bury him, and in which case it's not a separate mitzvah of kvura, it's included in the broader category of gemilas chasadim. So for Gmilus Chasadim, for instance, for Hashavas Aveda, we know Zaken Veinu Lefi Kvado is Pater. So we need a special limud to tell me that when that mitzvah is Kvura, even though it's only in the broader category of Gmilus Chasadim, a person who is a Zaken Veinu Lefi Kvado still has to do it. The Gemara Darshan is Vayter, Asher Yasun, Zulif Nimishuras Adin. Dam Rabbi Yochman, Lo Charver Yerushalayim, Ela Al Shedanu Badin Torah. Yerushalayim was destroyed because we judged using Din Torah. So Frak the Gemara, what? El Dina de Magista Ladino? What would you rather use? What system of law would have been better than Din Torah? What do you mean? We're destroyed. Yerushalayim was destroyed. We were punished because we used Din Torah. Isn't that a good thing to use Din Torah? So answers Gemara, no. Ela Eima Sheemidu Dineyam Al Din Torah Velo Avdu Lefnimi Shur Sadin. Yerushalayim was destroyed because we were so makbit to only dafka go with the Yikar Adin and not to ever do Lefnimi Shur Sadin. We should always try to go a little bit Lefnimi Shur Sadin. But really, it's a punishable offense. Not going Lefnimi Shur Sadin is something that we're going to get punished for. I understand you want to go Lefnimi Shur Sadin, it's going to be something that you get great schar for. But by not going Lefnimi Shur Sadin, we're going to get punished to such an extent that Yerushalayim is destroyed based on that. That's one kasha. The other kasha, all the Rishonim ask, is that there are other Gemaras that tell us why Yerushalayim was destroyed. Tosfos over here, Vim Tomer, to be Yuma, Amram B'nei Sinas Chinam. The Gemara says because of Sinas Chinam, Yerushalayim was destroyed. Wasn't Yerushalayim also destroyed because of the three major Averos, depending on which Beis HaMikdash you're talking about, Sinas Chinam, or the three big ones of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, or Shvichas Damim? Where does coming, not doing the three Mishur Sadin stack up against those other ones, and how does it fit into the broader picture of how we view why Yerushalayim was destroyed? So the Ben Yoyada is metarets both of these questions with one simple idea. He says, there's sometimes we do something wrong and it deserves an onesh. And sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us that onesh, but sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go lefnim mishuras hadin with us. He's going to see that for whatever reason, he wants to be extra kind, uses midas harachamim, and not punish us for all those averos. When's HaKadosh Baruch Hu most likely to go lefnim mishuras hadin with us? When we go lefnim mishuras hadin with him and with each other. When we do things that are lefnim mishuras hadin, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go lefnim mishuras hadin. So what are the averos per se that caused the destruction of Yerushalayim? That's the other Gemaras, the big three, and Sinas Chinam. Those are the averos for which we were punished with the destruction of Yerushalayim. But when you want to know why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually punished us and didn't go lefnim mishuras hadin, the punishment was withheld from us until we stopped going lefnim mishuras hadin. Once we stopped going lefnim mishuras hadin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there's no reason for me to go lefnim mishuras hadin with them. That's the Gemara in Brachos, where the Gemara says that the Malachim asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why is he always nosei panim l'klal Yisrael? Why is he always favoring klal Yisrael and going beyond the letter of the law? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, look at what they do. I said in my Torah v'achalta v'sevato v'erachta that they only have to be mivarech birchas hamazon if they're saveya, if they're satiated. And look what they do. They say birchas hamazon afilu even if they only eat kabetzer or kezayis. They say birchas hamazon, meaning when we go beyond what we need to do by the Din Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go beyond what he needs to do by true justice, and he'll use his midas harachamim. So that's the idea, that we were, because we didn't go to Lefnim Mishuras Hadin, Yerushalayim was destroyed. It left us vulnerable for our other averos. It left us vulnerable for the more serious averos that we in fact did. Says the Mishnah, Ezu hi aveda, new Mishnah. So what is an aveda? Definition of aveda. Matzah chamaro pararon baderech, ezu aveda. If you see a donkey or a cow grazing by the road, that's not an aveda. Its owner probably knows exactly where it is. You can't assume it's lost just because you see something. Chamor v'keil v'fafuchin pararatza ben akramim harezu aveda. If you see a donkey and its kelim are all upside down, or you see a cow and it's running amongst the vineyard, so then you know that's an aveda. The cow doesn't belong in the vineyard. If it's there, you know it must be lost. You keep returning it and it keeps running away, and you return it and it runs away. Even four or five times, you still have to keep on returning it. The chiyuv doesn't stop. Shenemar hashev tashivim, because we darshan from the pasuk hashev tashivim, the double lashon that you always have a chiyuv of hashavas aveda. Hayabatal misela, if your person is going to lose out on a sela's worth of work because he is busy involved in the Ashavas Aveda, lo yomer lo ten li sela, he cannot demand of the owner of the Aveda to compensate him for the sela, elinosin lo schar kapoel, rather the owner of the Aveda compensates him like a poel, and the Gemara will define exactly what kind of poel. Im yeshem beis din, if there's a beis din there, lav dafka a legitimate beis din, just three people, masin b'fnei beis din, so you should make a tenai in front of the beis din, meaning if I know that I'm going to lose X amount of money by being involved in this Aveda, and I don't want to lose that money, so I have two options. Either I can get over it and lose the money, or I can go and say to a beis din of people that I'm only going to do this mitzvah al tanai, that I get paid back the money that I would otherwise be making at this point in time. Im ein shem beis din b'fnei mi yasna shelo kodem. But if there's no beis din, you have no one to make a tanai in front of, so then forget about the aveda. You could do your own thing, take your own money that you would make rather than take care of the aveda. But if you have a beis din, so you're always able to make that tanai in front of the beis. And there's an interesting discussion that Dvar Avram has in Chelek Beis, Simen Ches Ozayin. The Dvar Avram has basically two chakiros. Chakira number one is quoted in the Biri Adaf over here. Chakira number one is, let's say, the Mishnah says that you return it four or five times, it keeps running away, you keep returning, it keeps running away, you keep returning it. So when you return it the second time, or when you are about to return it the second time, is that a brand new mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda? Or is that just a continuation of the first mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda? Meaning, do we assume that when it ran away, that took away your mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda? You therefore never fulfilled Hashavas Aveda yet? Or do we assume, no, you fulfilled Hashavas Aveda, but now you have a new chiyuv of Hashavas Aveda? Right? And even if you're going to assume that you were Mekayim the Hashava the first time, still there's reason to assume that even if you're Mekayim it the first time, that the second time is only a continuation of the first time. Or do we say, no, it's a brand new Chiyuv of Hashavas Aveda? So it sounds very impractical. Who cares? What difference? What's the nafkamina? Whether it's a new Chiyuv of Hashavas Aveda, an old Chiyuv? Either way, a Mechuyuv, no. Either way, it's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So there's a big difference. Nafkamina number one is, let's say I don't return it the second time. Do I have to pay for whatever damages occur to it because I'm a Shomer Aveda? Meaning, but when I engage in Hashavas Aveda on that item the first time, does that now make me a Shomer Aveda until the owner keeps it for good, until the owner has it in his hands, even if I returned it to his property and then the animal ran away again? So does it make me a Shomer Aveda, in which case I have the dinim of a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Sachar, or am I just an innocent bystander? I did my Hashava and I'm done now. That's one nafkamina. Another nafkamina is if I'm a zakin v'enu l'fi kvodo. So meikra din, I'm not really chayiv to do Hashavas Aveda on this item. Thing is, I did Hashavas Aveda once. So I started. So is that called? So we said by zakin v'enu l'fi kvodo, if he throws the clod of earth at the item, and he starts doing the first move toward Hashavas Aveda, so he has to finish. So is that called finished? Can I say that I'm finished after the first time, but when it keeps running away, I'm not going to go after it again because it's a brand new mitzvah? Or do I say, no, it's a continuation of the first mitzvah, and once I made that first move, I have to continually return it, even though I'm a zakin v'enu l'fi kvodo. So the Dvar Avram thinks, he's noted to say, that why do I need a drasha to tell me that you have to return it four or five times? What? The drasha tells me that there's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, meaning if it's a brand new mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, each time it runs away, so of course there's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Why wouldn't there be a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda? I see someone else's animal, it's lost. So he says, Elamayim, it must be that the whole chiddush of the pasuk is that it's a continuation of the first mitzvah. And therefore you have all these chumras, that a zakin v'enu l'fi kvodo would have to continue to do it if he did it that first time. And that a person has all the dinim of a shomer aveda. It must be that's the whole limud from the pasuk. Now he points out that the lashon of the shach implies that the shach does not understand it this way, but he says that then the shach is going to have difficulty explaining what exactly the chiddush is in the pasuk. Okay, says the Gemara. The Mishnah is very unusual. It says, what is an Aveda? And it gives two examples. A donkey, a cow. That's it. Those are the only two Avedas. Those are the only two situations where something is called an Aveda. The donkey and the cow on the road is not an Aveda. And if the donkey has its kalem upside down and the cow is in the vineyard, it is an Aveda. And that's it. So I'm going to review the Hachikamar. No, what it means to say is as follows. It means, what's a stam aveda where you can tell just by looking at it that it's lost, as opposed to something that the owner knows where it is? If you see just the donkey or the cow on the road, so it's not an aveda, you're not chayiv to do anything. But those are examples of something where you can tell just by the situation that they're in that they're lost. Obviously, there are thousands of examples of something that you can tell by the way the matzav that it's in right now that it's lost. So, frak the Gemara uli olam, is this forever? Meaning, do you assume that if you see a cow walking on the road that it's not an aveda? That's forever. You can assume it's not an aveda. Meaning, at what point do you assume? Wait a second, I've seen this cow walking on the same street for a long enough time that there's no way the owner knows that it's here. So the answer is Gemara, Amar Rav Yudah Rav, ad shlosha yamim, up until 3 days. Say Echidami, asks the Gemara, well, what's the case? Why does 3 days make sense? Ibele lusa afilu chadashaitanami. If it's at nighttime, so the cow shouldn't be out on the street by itself in the middle of the night. So if it's at nighttime, even for a moment, I could tell it's an aveda right away, even though it's just grazing on the street. Ibi mama afilu tuvinami lo. And if it's during the daytime, people can have their cows out during the daytime grazing for months on end. You know, they bring them out every day and let them go out. So why would I assume that it's ever an aveda if it's during the daytime? When would we have this 3-day time limit that up until 3 days it's not an aveda? Then after 3 days it's probably an aveda and you should take care of it. So says the Gemara, Lo tzricha da hava chazila bekidmaso b'chashech da tlasi yom yam rinas ramu yisrami lavinavka. You see it very early in the day, meaning before Alos HaShachar, and toward the evening time, when it starts to get dark outside, not in the middle of the night, but it's not in broad daylight either. So up until 3 days, you could assume, okay, so maybe for these 3 days, the animal got an early start in its day, the owner of the animal got an early start and let the animals out, or got a late finish to his day, and therefore kept the animals out a little later than normal. But it's only a little earlier than normal, a little bit later than normal. But once you see it at that time of day for more than 3 days in a row, then it's unlikely that he's getting so many early starts, so many late finishes to his day. It's more likely that the animal is an aveda, and therefore you need to go and return it. Tanya nami hachi, matza talus v'kardum b'isratya. If a person finds a talus or an axe on a path that people go on, uparu ratza ben akramim, or a cow running amongst the vineyard, arezu aveda, that is an aveda. Talus b'tzad geder, kardum b'tzad geder, but if you find a talus or an axe next to a fence, uparu ro ben akramim, or a cow grazing in the vineyard, ainzu aveda, that's not an aveda. The Gra changes that from ben akramim to ben ha'asavim, because the kerem, it doesn't belong in. That was the example of what is an aveda. The cow shouldn't be, meaning if you keep the girsa of ben akramim, you would have to say the differences between Ratzin and Roa, but the Gra says it's not enough of a difference. You would want it to be Roa ben ha'asavim, where it's totally normal and it's not an aveda. Gimel yamim ze'ach hazeh, harezu aveda. But if you see it 3 days consecutively, then it is an aveda. So if you see what 3 days consecutively, it is an aveda, right? The Gemara is not exactly clear. The Rashba writes that the shear of gimel yamim that the Brisa mentions goes on the talus b'tzad geder and the kardum b'tzad geder also. You find the talus and you find the axe next to the fence, that's also limited to gimel yamim ze'ach hazeh. If you see it sitting there next to that same fence for more than 3 days, so then you know that it's an aveda. If you see it sitting there for a very long time. We gave the example before, when someone comes to a shul on Erev Shabbos, a lot of times they'll put their keys up on the shelf. So if you see the key up on the shelf for a day or two, so it's likely that the person knows exactly where it is and is coming to get it. You see it there for 3-4 weeks, it's likely that the person forgot all about it, has no idea where it is. Then you have a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. The Magen Mishnah, however, explains within the Shittas Rambam that when we're talking about the Kardum or the Talis, Bitzad Geder, even if it's there for Yamim Rabim, even if it's there for many, many days, you still should not touch them. Still, you can assume that the person knows where they are, and that's what how the Shach understands the Rambam as well, and that's what seems to be accepted as Halacha, that the three-day idea does not go on the talus and the kardum b'tzad geder. It only goes on the cow in the vineyard, etc. So says the Gemara Vayter, Ra'a mayim sheshosin u'bayin. If you see water that's about to flood a field, hareza goda b'fneim. You should build a dam to stop the water from coming in and from ruining everything. Amar Rava l'chal avedas achicha l'rabos avedas karka. From l'chal avedas achicha, we darshan that even avedas karka is included in hashavas aveda. That you might think hashavas aveda doesn't apply to karka. So kamash melon, yes, it does apply to karka. Amle Rav Chanani l'rava tani d'msaya elach says a v'raisa that supports you. Ra amayim sheshotun ubayim. You see water that's coming in. It's about to flood. Hareza godib v'neim. You should build something to stop the water from coming in. Amar Lehi says, nah, that price isn't a raya to me that Aveda's karka is included in Hashavas Aveda. That's talking about where there's grain, there are piles of grain in the field. So it's not the Hashavas Aveda, the karka, that you need to protect by building the dam to stop the water. No, you're just trying to protect the grain. But wait a second, if there's grain there, then of course there's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda on that, right? What would be the chiddush of the brisa then? So l'tzricha dispo umrin d'tzricha l'ara. No, there's grain that still needs the land. It's still gaining some nourishment from the land. So ma'ad d'teimah kim d'tzricha l'ara ki gufa d'ara damyon. I might think that since it's tzricha l'ara, it has a din of the land itself, kamashmlan, therefore comes to tell me that no, it doesn't have a din of karka. So although Rava is mechadesh that there is Hashavas Aveda on karka, he does not believe that there's a raya to his shita from this brisa. Why would you think there's no Hashavas Aveda on karka? What would be the havamina that Hashavas Aveda should not apply to karka? Now, granted, karka doesn't get lost because it's always in the same place. You always know where it is. But the kind of Hashavas Aveda we're talking about is not Hashavas Aveda where something was lost. It's where something is about to be destroyed and you have a way of avoiding the destruction, of averting the destruction. So the Tzar Tzmima writes that the chiddush is that even though karka itself never gets totally destroyed, it can never be gone. It can only get ruined, but it can't get completely destroyed. So I might think that there's no din of Hashavas Aveda. So that's the chiddush, that you still have a din of Hashavas Aveda even by something that cannot even potentially become completely destroyed. Minchas Chinuch says that without the pasuk, I would have thought that Aveda's karka is not included in Hashavas Aveda simply because it doesn't fit the MO of the rest of the pasuk. The pasuk gives examples of things you do Hashavas Aveda on. Shar, Sev, Simla, it gives examples of what you're supposed to do Hashavas Aveda on, and none of them are karka. So that's why I would have excluded karka. That's why I need a special drasha dafka to include karka. What's interesting is the Sefer HaChinuch, when he describes the reason for the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, may give us another reason why it is that I would think karka is not included. Sefer HaChinuch writes in Mitzvah Tav Kuf Lamed Ches, the reason for the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda is l'fi sheyesh ba to'eles hakol v'yishuv hamedina. There's great benefit for society in having a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Why? Sha'ashikcha b'kol hi mitzuya. People forget things all the time. It's very natural. It's very normal for people to forget things. And animals run all over the place. They run here, they run there. It's very common. And because things are always running away, and it's very common for things to get lost, so therefore this mitzvah keeps the Yishuv Ha'olam working properly. Now, how common is it for karka to run away? Obviously karka doesn't run away. You don't forget karka. The only issue is once in a while you have a natural disaster where there's a major flood that's coming. How common is that? That's not common at all. So if the whole mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda is only for the sake of Yishuv HaOlam, I might have excluded karka because it's not necessary for Yishuv HaOlam to do Hashavas Aveda on karka. But kamash milan, that still there's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda on the karka. That's the extra drasha from the pasuk. The Evna Azel, Rav Zalman discusses that the Gemara Masechta Shavuos has a discussion about grain that still need the karka. So the Gemara over there says, if it still needs the karka, then l'chol ha'deos it has a din of karka. The only discussion, the only machlokas is going to be if the grain doesn't still need the karka, then does it or does it not have a din of karka. So the Rav Zalman just points out, so if we're talking about amrim hatzrichim l'karka, how can Rav say that, no, you don't have a raya from this price to my shita that you do a shavas aveda on karka, but we're talking about amrim hatzrichim l'karka, then it is karka. So that's Vaiter Araya, it's exactly what he says, because it still is karka. So that's the kasha that Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer asks. So he suggests that maybe the chiddush is that although Omer Matzrichim LeKarka do have a din of karka, but still they're different than karka in that they can become Ne'evad Legamri. karka can never become ne'evah legamri. So I might have thought that Hashavas Aveda can apply to something that's halachically karka, so long as it can be totally destroyed. But if it's something that is halachically karka and cannot be totally destroyed, it's a classic karka, then there would be no Hashavas Aveda on it. That's the Chiddush. That's why Rava thinks the Braisa about the Omrim is not a raya to him. Says the Gemara Vayter, Matzah Chamar or Parah. The Mishnah said, if you find a Chamar or Parah and it's a roa in the fields, you don't do Hashavas Aveda. So, Aguf Akash, we have a steer in the Mishnah. Amen, Matzah Chamar or Parah, Ron Baderech into Aveda. If you see it just grazing on the road, that's not an Aveda. Ron Baderech Lutlava Aveda, Haratza Baderech Veroa Ben Akramim, Havi Aveda, which implies that if it's running on the road or it's grazing in a vineyard in an unusual place, then it is an Aveda. But then Ema Seifa, what's an example of something that is an Aveda? Chamar v'kelef hafuchim upara rotza ben akramim harezu Aveda. The cow has to be running and in the vineyard for it to be an Aveda. Two unusual things. It's running and in the vineyard. Sounds like rotza ben akramim udavi Aveda, rotza bedarach v'ro ben akramim ainzu Aveda. If it were running on the road or grazing in the vineyard, then it wouldn't be an Aveda. So it's a stira. Do you need one unusual thing, a thing or two unusual things in order to make it an Aveda? Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, Yagada Lavrayo, you have to look at it from the context, that the context is Megala, what the halach is. Tana roa bederach lavi aveda. Why didn't the roa ben akramim? It says when it's grazing in the field, it's not an aveda. The same is true when it's grazing in the vineyard, it's not an aveda. Tana rotza ben akram dahavi aveda. It says if it's running in the vineyard, it is an aveda. Why didn't the rotza bederach? Meaning the main point, the emphasis is on the first word. If you say that it's roa, roa is not an aveda. If you see that it's rotza, rotza is an aveda. It's not the location so much. It's just that it's more normal for it to be roa in the derech and rotza in the vineyard. So I'm going to of Reo, but Rava, if really that's the idea that you're supposed to be able to figure that out from context, listening Kilsov, Kolshkein Chamirasa, let it teach me the more Kal case, and I'll know from a Kal v'chomer, the more Chomer case. Meaning, listening Ratza Bederech Tavi Aveda, Kolshkein Ratza Ben Akramim. Tell me that even if it's running on the road, it's an Aveda, and then I'll know if it's running in the vineyard, it's Vada in Aveda. Listening Ro Ben Akram Delavi Aveda, Kolshkein Ro Bederech. Tell me that if it's grazing in the vineyard, it's not an Aveda, and I'll know for sure if it's grazing on the road, it's not an Aveda. So Elam Rava says a different answer. Ratza aratza lo kasha, running on the road versus running in the vineyard. I mean, the implication about what the halacha would be on running on the road is not a kasha, is not a stira. Hada apa legabe dabra, hada apa legabe masa. It depends which way it's running toward. If it's running toward the city or if it's running toward the desert. If it's running toward the desert, it's about to run into nowhere's land and it's going to be lost. Running toward the city, it's okay. Roa roa nami lo kasha is also not a stira. Question is, what are we talking about? Are we talking about the destruction of the animal or the destruction of the land? If we're talking about the losing kikatani roba derech lava havi aveda, when do we say that grazing on the road is not an aveda? Harobein akram havi aveda, which would imply that grazing in the vineyard is an aveda b'avedas karka. That means the karka, the vineyard, is going to get destroyed because you have a cow in the vineyard. Of course, it's going to get destroyed. That's Hashavas Aveda. V'chikatani ratza ben akram avi aveda, roa ben akram lo avi aveda. When do we say that roa ben akramim is not an aveda when it's grazing in the vineyard? B'avedas gufa, when you're worried about the cow itself. The ratza ben akramim maskava v'roa ben akramim lo maskava. That when it's running in the vineyard, it could get wounded. When it's grazing in the vineyard, it's not going to get wounded. Nothing's going to happen to you. You have nothing to worry about. So v'roa ben akramim nihid lo miskava tebekle mishom avedis karka. But still, shouldn't you have to worry about the avedis karka anyway? Meaning, you wanted to tell me that when the animal is grazing in the vineyard will get killed. The animal won't get killed. But still, you can't just sit there and do nothing. Don't you have to take the animal out of the vineyard anyway? So says Gemara, bidukuti. The vineyard belongs to Ukuti, so you're not so worried about the vineyard. You have no mitzvah Hashavas Aveda on the vineyard. But don't you have to worry that maybe if it belongs to Ukuti, Kuti will take out his rifle and he'll shoot that cow. So granted, the cow may be only grazing and not running, and therefore it's not going to get hurt by its own activities in the vineyard. But if it's a vineyard that belongs to a Kuti, shouldn't you have to do Hashavas Aveda on the cow because the cow is about to get shot by the Kuti? And so the Gemara, Ba'asu Demasu V'Hadu Katli. No, it's a vineyard of a Kuti, but it's in a place where the minig is that when you see a cow trespassing on your property, you first warn and then you shoot. You don't just shoot. So therefore, you don't have to worry. V'Dilma Asruba, But what do you mean? Maybe the kuti already warned. Maybe he screamed already. And now the cow is still there. No, if the kuti warned the owner of that cow once, so then it's the owner of the cow's fault. You don't have to do a Hashavas Aveda when the guy is totally negligent. The kuti warned the owner of this cow, keep your cow out of my property. He obviously didn't do a good job of doing that, and therefore it's a total Aveda Midas. We said the animal runs away multiple times. You continually have to return it. Why don't we dash in the pasuk? Pasuk says hashev to shivim. So maybe hashev means return it once. Toshivim means return it twice. Who says afilu arba v'chamisha pa'amim? Like it says in our mishnah. So amalei hashev afilu kuf pa'amim mashma. The word hashev alone is mashma that you have to return it 100 times. Toshivim in the other basal the ginasal l'chavaso minayin. From the word teshivim, we darshan as follows. I would only know that you return it lebeso. How do I know that you also return it leginaso lechorvaso, that you can return it into his garden or into his chorva? Tamalomar teshivim mekal makom. You just have to deposit it in his property, and that's fine, that's good enough. That's what we learn from teshivim, but the number of times you have to return it, from hashev alone, we know that you have to return it 100 times. Hechidami, frankly, more, wait a second. This ginon chorva you're putting it into, idemintra pshita, if it's a protected area, then you don't need a special drasha. Of course you're allowed to put it into a protected area owned by the owner. Idolomintara, amai. And if it's not a protected area, then why is that a valid mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda? You didn't do anything. Sansa's more leom dementra. It is a protected area of a hakamashmal and lobin and das bailim. You don't need to tell him. He doesn't need to know that you have returned it. As long as you put it back in a safe area that's owned by him, that's good enough. It's because the Torah uses that double expression of Hashav to Shivaim, that's why we know that you don't need Das Bailim for Hashavas Aveda. Once we're on the topic of double expressions in the Torah, the Gemara goes through about a dozen of them. Shaleach to Shalach. So we say by Shiluach HaKan, you have to send away the mother bird. Maybe that only means you have to do it twice. No, you have to keep on doing it even 100 times. To Shalach, from Teshalach we darshin that I would have only known that you do the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan if you want the bird for Dvar Rishus. How do I know that even for Dvar Mitzvah you need the bird for Mitzvah? How do I know that you still have to do Shiluach HaKan? You're not allowed to take the mother bird to use for Taras HaMitzvah. You still have to do the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. Talmud Lomar Teshalach Mikal Makom. Still it says Teshalach, therefore it teaches me that you have to do Shiluach HaKan even when you could have used the mother for your mitzvah of Taras Mitzvah. What's the mitzvah involved in Taras Mitzvah? So the Gemara that Rashi paraphrases over here, from the Gemara Masechta Schulin, which Daf Kuf Mem Aleph, says that the mitzvah of Taras Mitzvah is not the mitzvah alone, it's the mitzvah of becoming tar so that you could have shalom bayis. That it's shalom bayis that I would think would push away the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, kamashmon teshalach, that you still have to do the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. So the Shindum Kvetzes quotes from the Rush, he says, there's a machlokas whether a mitzvah muchlat is also b'tashma shamita or mutter b'tashma shamita. Prior to starting the Torah process, is he allowed to have tashma shamita? Now, once he starts the Torah process, he's also b'tashma shamita. So, frak the Shindum Kvetzes. If while he's a Mitzvah Mukhlat, he's Asr B'tashma Shamita, I understand very well what the Shalom Bayis is. He's Asr B'tashma Shamita, he's now starting a process whereby at the end of the process he'll be Mutter B'tashma Shamita. So I understand the Havamin, the Shalom Bayis, should push away Shiluach HaKan. But if you're going to assume that a Mitzvah Mukhlat is Mutter B'tashma Shamita, so Adarabah, it's going to ruin his Shalom Bayis because now it's going to put him in a position while he's going through this process that he's going to be Asr B'tashma Shamita. So says the Rush and the Shittim Gvetzes rather, Nim Rabbeinu Meir, unbelievable. He says, no, you're right. Even though he was Mutter B'tashma Shamita, now he's going to make himself Asr B'tashma Shamita, it's still an enhancement of Shalom Bayis. Because just because he's Mutter B'tashma Shamita does not mean his wife is happy about it. His wife may still be disgusted by the fact that she's living with a Mitzvah. And that alone is the Shalom Bayis element. That getting himself out of the Tzara'as to take away the disgust of his wife, that itself is the Shalom Bayis that we're focused on. That's the Shalom Bayis that we're talking about. Another important Ha'ara, the Pesachei Tshuva in the Halachas, in Yaradeya, in the Halachas of Shiluach HaKan discusses, and this is the most common Shiloh when it comes to Shiluach HaKan. I've gotten a few Shiluach HaKan Shilohs, all of them relate to this. Is there a mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan when you don't really want the eggs? right? When you don't care about the eggs, you just want to do the mitzvah because there's a great school involved in the mitzvah, whatever it is, you just, it's exciting, you never got to do this mitzvah. So is there a mitzvah absent the need for the eggs? So perhaps one of the rayas that there is a mitzvah is our Gemara, that afilu me'a pa'amim. What do you mean afilu me'a pa'amim? You sent it away once, you took the eggs. What do you mean you have to keep doing it 100 times? So elamai must be sent it away and you didn't take the eggs. You just sent away, you just really sent away the mother, but you had no real need for the eggs, and the mother kept on finding the eggs, kept on coming back and finding wherever the eggs were. Although the truth is, it's not necessarily the greatest raya in the world, because it could just mean that the mother keeps coming back before you have a chance to really get rid of all the eggs. You send her away and she just flies around the block quickly and comes right back and lands right back on the spot. And that's what it's telling me. You have to keep on sending 100 times. Says Gemara Vayter, maybe the mitzvah of giving tochecha is only up until 2 times because it's a double lashon. No, the mitzvah of tochecha is even 100 times. The word hocheach alone we could assume means up until 100 times. Tochiach in liela harav l'talmud talmud rav minayin. Tochiach teaches me I would only know Rebbe has a responsibility to be mochiach a talmud. How do I know a talmud also has to be mochiach a Rebbe? Talmud lomar hocheach tochiach mikal makom. That's why it has a double expression of hocheach tochiach, that even 100 times. Now the Gemara in Erechin is a different drasha. It says that hocheach, how do I know that hocheach v'lo kibel, that you should still be chozer mochiachim? So that we dash from tochiach, not from hocheach. Although we shouldn't have bothered by that. Over here we're saying hocheach, we learn that you do it even 100 times. And over there in the Gemara in Erechin we say that from tochiach we learn to do it 100 times, even if he's not mekabel. So the most of the Rishonim, the Ran, the Mukai Yosef, the Ramban, the Matarits, by differentiating between continually giving musr for the same aveira versus giving musr for multiple averos. One is learned from ocheach that you do it 100 times for the same avera, and the other is learned from tochiach if you see he keeps doing avera after avera to continue to give the guy musr. Azov ta azovimo, ein li ala balavimo, shein balavimo minayin. How do I know that even when the balim is not there? Tamalomar azov ta azov mikol makom. Right, the mitzvah of unloading the animal, helping the Balaam unload the animal, even when the Balaam is not there. Hakim takim, helping him load the animal, imo, in the elabal of imo, shin bal of imo minayin. How do I know even if the owner is not there? Tom lomar hakim takim imo. Velamel el mukhtav prika, velamel el mukhtav ti'ina. Why do I need a separate drasha for both prika and for ti'ina? So tzrichi, ti'ikas rachmana prika, had I only known about unloading the animal, havamin mishum dikat sar balichayim. I would say, yeah, that I have to do even if the owner is not there, because it's sar balichayim, vi'ika chasum kis. And there's a loss of money. When it comes to loading the animal, where there's no tzar balechayim, there's no chesron kis, meaning what's the chesron kis over here? That the behema gets ruined, that the animal gets devalued by having this heavy burden on it and getting weakened by it. But if the animal doesn't have anything, it's about tiin, it's about loading the animal, so there's no chesron kis if I leave it alone, so I would think I don't have to do it. V'yashmin and tiin, and had only told me tiin, mishum de beschar, aval prika de because tina is something I get paid for, but prika, which is for free, I would think no. I would think I don't have to do it. Tzricha. That's why it comes to tell me that no, you have to do it, because either way you have to do it, even if the owner is not there. But what if you hold tina you also do for free and you don't get paid for it? So then what's the extra chiddush? Once you teach me the din of tina, why do I need the din of prika? So the Rabbi Shimon lomah saimi krayi. According to Rabbi Shimon, ena chinami. The Pesukim don't really work out which one, meaning not the Pesukim don't work out. Rabbi Shimon would not have known which Pasuk was talking about Ti'ina and which one was talking about Prika. So if you only would have had one of these Pesukim, I would not have known that it's referring to, if you only would have had the Pasuk of Prika, I would not have known that it's only the Pasuk of Prika. I would have thought maybe that's the Pasuk of Ti'ina or vice versa. So therefore, he needs two Pesukim to teach me that it relates to both Prika and Ti'ina. Why does Why do we need the Torah to teach me both of these and the Aveda and the Shavas Aveda? Write one of them and learn the other from it. So Tzrichi, Dikas Rachman Ani Tarti, if I only would have had Priko Ti'ina, Mishum Tzara Demari Isa, Tzara Dida Isa, Tzara Demari Isa, Tzara Dida Isa, Aval Aveda, Tzara Demari Isa, Tzara Dida Lesa, Em Lo. But by the Aveda, where only the owner is suffering, but the item itself is not suffering, so I would think you don't have to get involved. V'yashmin Aveda, Mishum Tzara Lesa, and had I only had the halacha of Aveda, I would say that because the owner's not there. Aval hani tarti di isal lamara ba'da imalo tzricha. But had I only been told about the case of prikotina, I'll say, look, if the owner is there, what do I need to bother with it? The owner is there, let him deal with it. So I would think I don't have to deal with it. So tzricha, that's why I need both drushas. Now we go back to double lashonos. Mos yumas hamake, right? The pasuk says double lashon. Mos yumas hamake. Someone who's chayv misa, you should kill him. Ein liel b'misak suva bo. So I know you're supposed to kill him with what the Torah prescribes for him. Minayin shemiyata yachal amiso misak suva bo shatrash shel amiso b'kol miso shete yachal amiso. How do I know if the guy's getting away? Let's say so he gets in a getaway car and he's driving away, and we're not going to be able to kill him unless I start shooting at the car. How do I know that I can shoot at the car to kill him that way? Even though that's not the chayv skila, he's not chayv a bullet wound to the head. So why am I allowed to shoot? Tamalomer, most yimas mikol makom. That's what the pasuk says, most yimas mikol makom. Most importantly, he has to be dead at the end of the day. Haketake, in liel haka, ksuva behem, minayin shemiyata yachal amisam baka, ksuva behem, shat yachal hakosu mikol haka, shat yachal. How do I know that this is talking about the Arnidachas, that you're supposed to kill all the residents of that city? How do I know if you can't kill them with the prescribed misa, you should kill them with whatever you can? Tamalomer, haketake, mikol makom. Weiter, hashev tashiv, ein li ela shemashkano b'rishus beizin. Mashkano shlo b'rishus beizin minayin. So I know when I get a mashkon b'rishus beizin, so I need to return it every single day. Pasuk says that you should return his avot b'va ha-shemesh v'shachav b'sal maso. Right, you have to return his nighttime mashkon for the night and his daytime mashkon for the day, and keep on taking it back and returning it every single day. But that's only when Beis Din allowed me to take it. How do I know even if Beis Din did not allow me to take it that I have to do that? Tamalom rashev tashev mikal makom. Chavol sachbol. So the pasuk says that im chavol tachbol sal masreach ad b'va ha-shemesh tishivenu lo. So only el shemashkano b'rishus. Mashkano shalo b'rishus minayin. How do I know that even if you had it as a mashkon without rishus, that you tamal lomar chavol tachbol mikol makom? That's what comes to tell me that no, you have to make sure he gets it back. V'hani trei kray lamali. Why do I need two psukim to teach me both about a mashkon that I have to make sure I give it back on a daily basis? So chaduksus yom, chaduksus laila. One to teach me about a daytime clothing. One to teach me about nighttime clothing. Pseach tiftach. Pasuk says that kipseach tiftach is yadchalo v'avei tavitenu demachsro asher yechzalo. So you have to give tzedakah. In the how do I know that I also have to give to aniyim from other cities? The pasuk says that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you all these blessings so that you can give. I would only know to give a large matana. How do I know that even a small matana? No matter what you can give, you give. Hanik tanik, that when it comes to an eved that's going free, so you should give him from mitzoncha, migarnocha, miyikvecha, you should give him from some of the blessings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. I would think I would only have to give him some goodies for the road if he was beneficial to my house. But if I didn't experience a specific bracha while he was here, how do I know I still have to do it? Tamlomer anik tanik mikol makom. L'Rav Elazar ben Azariah dominus baruch habayis b'glul manikim lo lomus baruch habayis b'glul ein manikin tanik lamali. But according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, says that that's not true. That if the house, if you were not successful on account of this eved, you do not have to give him anything. So then, what do I have that extra lashon of tanik for? So dibra Torah klashon min adam. That's just the Torah speaking in normal way of speaking by using a double lashon, but it's not meant to darshan anything. Tosfos deals with the obvious problem. What's Rav Elazar ben Azariah going to do with the last Amud of Gemara, where we have a million different double lashonos? He's going to deny every single one of those drashas. So you take a look at those. We don't have time right now. Have tavitanu ein li al shein lo vein rotz l'sparnes amrachmana tein lo derech halva. If a guy doesn't have any money and he doesn't want to be misparnes from tzedakah, so the pasuk says give it to him as a loan because he doesn't want to take it as tzedakah. Yesh lo vein rotz l'sparnes minayin. But if he has money, he just doesn't want to use it. How do I know that you should still give it to him as a loan? Tamlomer tavitenu mikol makom. That's tavitenu no matter what. Rabbi Shimon domi yeshel venerosel esparnis einus kalken lo. According to Rabbi Shimon, who says that if the guy's an idiot, it's not your fault. If the guy has and he doesn't want to be misparnis from what he has, that you don't have to worry about him and start lending him money. So tavitenu lamali. What's tavitenu there to teach me? Dibra Torah kolashim bnei adam. That's just another example of dibra Torah kolashim bnei adam with the double expression. Okay, Mr. Shem will pick up there tomorrow.